You are listening to the Daily Treasure podcast produced by Mark Inc. Ministries, and I'm Sharon Betters, and it is such a joy for me to imagine those who are listening from across the United States and across the world. In fact, I was recently told by a friend about women who are in Scotland who are enjoying Daily Treasure, and it's just so humbling to think about how the Lord is speaking through the ministry of Mark Inc., M-A-R-K-I-N-C, which stands for Making Abundant Riches Known in the Name of Christ. And so we're continuing on our journey to Easter with the Women of the Resurrection, and today's devotional is called Woman Caught in Adultery, Forgiven, Part 3. Today's treasure is John 8, verses 10 through 11. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." The young wife wailed and repeatedly hit her head, sobbing, "How could I be this person? I never meant to hurt anyone. I have no excuse." Repentance flowed from her lips, eyes, body language, and heart. Seldom have I witnessed such sorrow over sin. She needed to name her sin, and we needed to allow her to vomit all of it out. What an excruciating, heartbreaking scene, one I will never forget. I could not deny how egregious her sin was, evidenced by the damage her choices caused those she loved. They might never forgive her, but seared in my heart even more is how genuine repentance followed by forgiveness filled her with hope. I wonder if the woman caught in adultery experienced such sorrow, especially after her private meeting with Jesus, as we read in John 8:9. Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Friends, think of the trauma this woman experienced. Religious leaders dragged her from her adulterous bed, leaving the man behind. Perhaps she fought hard against them, screaming, begging for them to let her go. We don't know if they even allowed her to wrap herself in a blanket. They throw her into the center of a crowd at church that most likely included her neighbors, maybe the wives of some of her clients. People stood with stones in their hands, ready to kill her. Suddenly, everything stops. Her accuser's gone. She stands alone before Jesus. What were her thoughts? Would he condemn her and shame her further? Did she stand before him knowing she deserves stoning according to the law of Moses? What happens next is one of the most tender interactions of Jesus with a woman. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Friends, notice that Jesus speaks gently and respectfully when he calls her woman, the same title he used when he spoke to his mother in John 2:4 and chapter 19, verse 26, to Mary Magdalene in John 20, verses 13 and 15, and the woman at the well in John 4:21. How differently he treated women than the Pharisees. I don't want to take too much liberty with this story, but I think this woman might have been hyperventilating. How do you calm down a hysterical person? You speak calmly, quietly, and you try to bring them to their present reality. In essence, Jesus says, "Woman, look around. Your accusers are gone. No one threw even a pebble at you." He speaks this truth in the form of a question so that she has to take a deep breath and respond, "No one, Lord." She calls him Lord. Is this her declaration of repentance and surrender? Jesus forgives her with his life-giving words, "Neither do I condemn you." What is our response when Jesus confronts us, whether through his word or a truth-speaking friend, about our sin? Do we call him Lord? We don't hear this woman claiming innocence or even blaming the Jewish men. She doesn't deflect blame by saying, "But they didn't treat me the right way." How often do we quickly blame the other person's flawed exhortation, concluding they have sinned in the way they exhorted us, so we minimize our own sin? Note that Jesus did not tell her that if she promised not to commit adultery again, he would forgive her. Jesus extended forgiveness as a gift of grace, as described in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that none of you can boast. Salvation is all of grace. Yet Jesus also exhorts her, go and sin no more. Sometimes we minimize sin because we are forgiven, and we abuse grace. Paul reminds us in Romans 6, 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? There is no threat on the part of Jesus that if this woman commits adultery again, he will take back her forgiveness. Rather, Jesus encourages her to know that holiness is a response to salvation. Implied in Jesus' words is that she has a choice, as do we. If we continue to sin the way we did before Jesus entered our hearts with no remorse, we need to examine whether we really understand the gift of grace and if we have truly experienced it. O Lord, what better time than today to acknowledge my own sinfulness? I call you Lord, and know obedience is a grateful response to the salvation you achieved for me by your death on the cross and by your resurrection.
Friends, thanks so much for joining us on this journey to Easter with the women of the resurrection. And it's our prayer that we will each be encouraged by these women who are way ahead of us in life's journey, who have stepped over into heaven and are calling back that God is sovereign and we can trust him. And the resurrection gives us confidence that this world is not all there is. And that is one great reason we produce the Help and Hope podcast, because every story is a picture of redemption, of how God uses the broken places in our lives to bring help and hope to others, as well as to draw us deeper into his heart. And today's Help and Hope podcast that I want to introduce you to is a conversation that I had with Pam Benton. And the title of the podcast is Caring for My Husband with Alzheimer's. Pam and I have been friends for a very, very long time. And her husband, Wilson, is just one of the kindest, gentlest, and men of the word that I have ever met. A student of the word, a preacher with excellence and beloved. But something was about to change in their lives as they looked forward to retirement. Pam started noticing small changes in her pastor husband after they had retired. Though Wilson had retired, he had agreed to serve as an interim pastor in another church for 18 months. But as it so often happens, 18 months turned into 5 years. And knowing Wilson, I don't blame that congregation for wanting him to stay. But Pam's concerns grew when Wilson started using notes for his sermons. Since both of their mothers had Alzheimer's, Pam and Wilson did not hesitate to get their doctor's opinion, hoping for a simple answer, but knowing Alzheimer's was not unlikely. In this conversation, Pam describes how a diagnosis of Alzheimer's has changed the direction of their plans for retirement, how important it is to get an early diagnosis, and the way the Lord has grown her faith. And Pam's children have told her that in spite of a lifetime of ministry, this season of life is perhaps the most important, as she models for them how to love their dad well in what many call the long goodbye. Friends, this is one of our most popular, most listened to podcasts, and we are reaching back into the archives for the month of March as part of our 30th anniversary celebration to share with you some of those resources that have touched many, many hearts with the light of Jesus. You don't want to miss this conversation with Pam Benton. Please go to markinc.org. That's markinc.org, and look for my conversation called Caring for My Husband with Alzheimer's. I'm Sharon Betters. Thanks so much for joining us, and I look forward to being with you tomorrow.